Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the wall came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum to you, dear believers, our radio audience. We are here another Tuesday evening on It's All About Courtship and Marriage, attempting to learn and have improved skill sets when it comes to courtship and marriage and relationships in general. So alhamdulillah, we thank you for being here with us this evening, and we'll get started with our program, as always, by opening up Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina Ananta Alayhim, Ghayr al-Maqdubi Alayhim wal-Abdalin. Amin. And in English, we're saying, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Amen. Alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah again for you being here with us this evening. And Sister Bina is working the polls this evening. And we thank her for her dedication and her service to her community there in North Carolina. And it's a very, very important voting season for us, you know, and there are a lot of things that we need to take into consideration when voting this year. So we pray that we do our due diligence and choose wisely and investigate fully and choose wisely to the best of our ability. Alhamdulillah. So if you've been with us for the past few weeks, and I lose track on how many weeks we've been on this topic, but 3 or 4 weeks we have been on this topic, we have been exploring an article that's titled Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage. And this article we found online, and is written by an imam from Nigeria. His name is Murtada Gusa. And you can find him on Facebook as well. Seems to be a very popular imam over there. And this article is entitled, again, Friday Sermon, Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtada Gusa. So I encourage you to go online and get this article and download it and keep it in your document so you can refer back to it. It's a lot of information in there and some thought-provoking statements that we have had discussion on in these past few weeks. And that's what we need. We need to think about marriage and think about relationships, the purpose of them, what we should get out of them, what we should give to them. How do they help us? You know, we are relational beings. You know, this paradigm of us being individuals, there has not been one thing individual about us. Not one thing that stands alone apart from a connection with others. You know, but even our looks, you know, if somebody's going to tell you who you look like that came before you. Oh, you look just like your father. Oh, you look just like your mother. You look just like your uncle. Oh, you got a cousin that was a couple of generations before you. I got pictures of them. You look just like them. Some type of feature, mannerism, something has been passed down to us through our genetic circumstances. There is some connection we have with someone that came before us. We are linked together. You know, we have connections from our mothers and our fathers and to our brothers and our sisters. We come here with connections, being connected, and we are never a standalone party. So, and first and foremost, we are connected to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us, and allowed us life and breathed into us of his ruach. You know, so this individual, this term individual, really is a misnomer. It is it's not even something that is real. You know, we are people with connections. We are people that have connections with our Lord, our parents, our family, and our physical creation. Okay? If we're born out of water. So when we think about it, we are relational beings. So why are relationships so necessary and so important? How do we benefit from them? So looking at it in reverse, we know for a fact that relationships can be destructive. And we see many people who have been broken down or cracked in relationships or been harmed in relationships. So the reverse of that is definitely true. And I'm pointing to something that we see physically and tangibly from a person experiencing a bad relationship or a person that has gone off to war and come back. And you see something absent from what they had when they went, in the spirit, in the mind, the heart, okay? This type of relationship with humanity to humanity, you know, even to the land, even that environment of destruction has an impact. So therefore, good relationships will have the reverse construction for the human being. Good uplifting relationships will provide those same qualities in the human being where we will be uplifted, we will expand, we will evolve to another level. So good supportive relationships, relationships that feed the best in the spirit, the mind, the heart, that help increase taqwa, help draw us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the relationships that we want. These are the relationships we seek and that we should desire. We have to know the benefit of good relationships. And then once we have them, not take them for granted. Because it is truly a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in a good relationship where these good components are present that support us and help us evolve in the best manner. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah tells us that He places love between our hearts and that we are to dwell together in tranquility, tranquility and peace. Okay, and we're covering for each other. So we're supporting each other. We're covering each other. We're having each other's back. We're building. We're praying. We're studying. We're evolving in our humanity for compassion, mercy, kindness, kindness for sure, being kind, gentle to each other. These components are practiced daily in marriage, and not just these, many others, you know, and just there is just a list. If you like to add to the list and add a positive adjective to the adjectives that we're and the characteristics that we're discussing, please feel free to do so. If you've experienced these things in your marriage, you know. So this is where, this is the womb we want to continue to develop in. This is the womb we want to continue to develop in this life. And we're not through developing until it's all over. my husband DeLacy has lately been making this statement, you know, because just always busy doing something, meeting. And I said, aren't you supposed to be retired? He said, like they say, I'll retire when I expire. You retire when you expire. So we continue to evolve, expand, and grow. And in this womb until our last breath, our last breath. So what an opportunity for us to continue to have good deeds to send before us in the way we treat each other. Have good deeds to continue to send on before us, waiting for us, in our service to each other in relationships, in helping each other to grow and expand and to become better people until our last breath. So these good relationships are vital. You know, you see someone, you see a young person, and you can tell that their parents have been working with them. They may be very mannerable, very attentive, just showing good character and good manners, and you're impressed with that. And you may compliment the parents and say, I just wanted to let you know that I've noticed you're doing a great job as a parent with this young man or young woman. We can see it. Having a good parent and a good foundation in family can make a huge difference in a child's life. Having a good marriage relationship, and partnering with someone who's going to look out for you, just like a good parent has looked out for a child and created an environment of safety and security and peace, education, training, knowledge of their creator. They're going to create that same womb for you as a husband or a wife, but then it will expand. It will expand because, of course, there's a different connection with a man and a woman. There's a different connection where we become bound together in a much different way than the parent and child relationship, okay? And this is an example given to us physically when marital relations occur, where you're actually connecting in a way where you're one person. Well, the same effect takes place mentally and sharing knowledge back and forth, spiritually and praying together and studying together, you know, doing good deeds together, economically. We become impactful to each other in very significant ways when we are married. And this is all the more reason to choose wisely, to choose a mate wisely. Alhamdulillah. And you'll find this in the opening of this article where he makes the statement in the preface of the article that, and I don't have that spot available and ready, but just let me find it. I just want to repeat it at the top of this program. And he says in the article, and again, this is Brother Imam Murtada Gusaw. Dear brothers and sisters, love, friendship, tranquility, harmony, and most importantly, trust are the foundations of a good Muslim marriage. In Islam, when a man and woman marry, they vow to each other that they would love and respect the holy tie of marriage, the holy tie of marriage. This implies that they should follow their word and maintain as much transparency as possible in their partnership, building, gaining, and maintaining trust, or amana in Arabic, is a complex endeavor that takes a lifetime of labor. Allah Almighty says in the Noble Quran. And they, women, have taken a firm covenant from you. A firm covenant, not a weak covenant, not a flimsy covenant, but a firm covenant. And this is Holy Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 21. And the author says, in this Quranic verse, the phrase firm covenant alludes to marriage. Marriage is a binding contract of fidelity. A woman entrusts herself to a man simply because she believes in the strength of the bond. If a man breaks a covenant of his own free choice, he has no right to take back the sum he provided or promised his wife as a bridal due at the time of the agreement. Okay, so he sets a very good foundation for what it takes to build this successful and blissful marriage, a successful and blissful marriage. Okay, so, and it erases all of the Western influences of a relationship just in those opening statements. That this is a marriage built on Allah's plan, not the ways of the world, not the plans of the world, where this is an in and out arrangement. I'm gonna get what I need out of this, then I'm out, and then I'm gone, and you know, first problems come up, oh, it's over, you go your way, I go mine. All of that. No, Allah says it's a firm covenant, a firm covenant. Okay? It takes time to build a solid structure. You have buildings that are still standing from 400 years ago. It took time to build that building and to have it that strong, to weather the storms, to weather earthquakes and all kinds of different calamities. The building is still strong because it was built well. It was built on a solid foundation, a strong foundation, and then it's been maintained throughout time. It's been maintained throughout time. These are the type of families we want. These are the type of legacies we want to leave behind, you know, where we have solid, strong families that have weathered storms and stood the test of time and can speak about it and the importance of it. Okay, so after going through that article, he has 21 essential attributes, he states, and he calls them 21 fundamental building blocks for a strong marriage. And we have gone through them. And number one was faith. Number two, forgiving. Number three, forget. Number four, forbearance. Five, being flexible. Six was friendship. Seven, fun. Eight, faithful. Nine, fairness. 10, finance. 11, family. 12 was feelings. 13 is freedom. So we've gone over the first 13 in our previous, I believe, three shows. And so tonight we're going to start out with number 14, which is flirtation, being flirtatious. And we're going to get started with that number 14 right after we take a pause for the cause and play our public service announcement. So please stick and stay with us for our next segment. And you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you after this public service announcement.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year, or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. So if you'd like to donate, please feel free to be a part of the giving that is done here on AM 360, the scholarships and providing scholarships to our young students. It's very significant and very important, because we build our families, but we build our community as well. So if you would like to donate, please do so. All right? And you can just go to cwsc.us, and you'll see a blue donate button where you can give in any amount that you can afford. Every amount is a blessing and a help. Okay. So getting back to our program this evening, okay, this next topic is flirtation, number 14. And the author says about flirtation, a sure way to keep romance in marriage is to flirt with your spouse. Many successful marriages have maintained a youthful demeanor in their marriages by adopting special names for each other and special communication styles. Okay? And this is a part of improving intimacy between couples as well. You know, so at first when I saw that, I thought it was going to go in a different direction. You know, don't do this. Don't flirt with people out in public and all that stuff. But that wasn't what he was aiming for at all. He was saying to flirt with each other. And this helps, he said, keeps the marriage youthful, because in this process, you're continuing to date and you're continuing to keep those initial feelings that you had, you know, the butterflies and everything when the phone would ring and you're courting and you're getting that phone call and you're happy and you're tripping over stuff getting to the phone. So it won't go to voicemail. You know, those feelings, you're keeping them alive through this process of flirtation. And I think it also gives us a time to remember when we did not have someone, you know, that you have someone now, or you're happy to have a person in your life and you appreciate the blessing Allah has blessed you with, and you flirt with each other and just keep little loving antidotes going back and forth between each other. It gives the relationship some sparks. Keeps the sparks going in the relationship, alhamdulillah. So it's a very important aspect and a building block. It's not just idle communication. It's very important communication, because through it, the other person, he talked about feelings earlier in the article. It promotes good feelings. It promotes good feelings in the relationship, you know. And we should consciously do things to promote good feelings in the relationship as well, because, you know we're going to have moments where feelings, you know, cannot be so good, or there may be frustration or whatever, but promoting the good feelings, doing things intentionally to keep good feelings in the present moment, in the present moments of the relationship, is a very important building block, an essential ingredient or quality or attribute of building a successful marriage. Okay? So that was number 14, flirtation. And number 15, to be frank. To be frank. And number 15 states, misunderstandings happen when couples are not honest with each other. A strong marital relationship is where each person feels safe to speak their mind with due consideration to the other's feeling without compromising their own views. When the communication is not frank, it hinders the development of closeness and deep understanding of each other's inner self. Being frank. And we're taught in Al-Islam that we should say a word direct to the directing to the right, or direct and to the right. We should be frank. Okay? And that involves being truthful and honest. Being truthful and honest with each other. Because many times you can be truthful and you can say things that are true, but it might not be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So this is where honesty comes in. Don't withhold the part that will deal with the situation, and then the issue will fester. be truthful and honest, being frank. And this involves exposing those inner feelings, those inner thoughts that are necessary to bridge the gap or to clear up the misunderstanding that can happen between two people. And when we deal with issues on this level, it really helps to put a misunderstanding to rest, because it's been dealt with in its entirety in a very frank and honest and truthful way. And when things are dealt with in that manner, it's done. It's done. It's like knowing when you've heard the truth of a matter. When you've heard the truth of a matter, and you now you have pulled the weed up and the root of the weed up out of the ground. So that particular weed is done. It's not coming back. But many times when things continue to reoccur in a situation, and you keep hearing about it, and it's brought back up, and it's brought back up, that's because the root was still there. And it continues to grow back. And you're like, well, what about, but I just don't understand why, you know, and it keeps coming back. Okay? Be frank, truthful, and honest. And deal with things to pull it up from the root and put it to bed. And this will increase the strength of the relationship. It's like putting very good mortar between two bricks. Mortar that's mixed well won't crack. Won't crumble. So this involves being truthful, honest, and frank. And if you have any thoughts on that, you can press your hand and pray on, raise your hand, press 1, and make any comments that you'd like to make on these topics, and we'd be happy to hear from you. Okay, so we're going to continue. And number 16 is facilitator. Facilitator. And the author says about a facilitator is that when choosing our life partner, we should, as the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, advised, look for a pious Muslim or Muslima. The reason is that, inshallah, their first and foremost goal will be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This commitment to Allah makes them an excellent facilitator for enhancing their spouse's spiritual development. In essence, the couple facilitates their family's commitment to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah Almighty and his religion. So that's just so valuable. So valuable, okay, that person that you're sharing your life with will help facilitate your entry into paradise, inshallah. What more can you ask for? So we have 2 callers in the queue. We're going to go to our first caller, 347-751. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sister Munira and Sister Bina, I imagine it's on, and our dear believers and listeners. I was just able to tap it in. You were completing the previous element, which I think was truth, and you'll have to remind me.
Yeah, being frank.
Alhamdulillah. And then went on to facilitating. And it takes me back to a memory that was clarifying for me in the importance of certain elements of character or traits that are important to notice. And the facilitator really touches me because the simple definition maybe of facilitate is a helper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who takes a level of responsibility in helping you reach a goal, right?
Yes.
Or a purpose. And Imam Muhammad, early in his leadership, was talking about the importance of the role of marriage, marrying couple, was to, especially the woman's definition of helpmeet.
Mm-hmm.
And we often only talked about that as a term, helpmate, someone who mates with you and then helps you and assists you. But he offered a different take on that definition as a help meet, and the definition of meeting was what was critically important to him to define. And like you say, facilitating really capsulizes it, because in terms of returning to that unified state of nefsin wahidat, the one soul, two people joining together as one soul and becoming help to each other to meet what? He said, to meet your maker in the best nature and condition that you can probably achieve. So that the intimacy of marriage positions each of those in proximity to each other, where it is the most intimate connection that safeguards your position and situation and readiness to meet your maker. We can look at the face of our mate, and maybe that enables them to see us in ways we don't even see ourselves.
Yeah.
Or to call our attention to tiny little cracks and flaws that, if they are considered, paid attention to, refine and beautify the relationship beyond our expectations. So I'll stop right there. It's a refining element, a refining action to help and facilitate the most optimal entry. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for your input and those pearls of wisdom. We appreciate it, and I'm so happy that it'll be archived to future generations, you know. So, alhamdulillah, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my dear. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Okay. And next, we're going to go to 401-323. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. What would you say to a brother if he doesn't want to tell you, if he doesn't want to introduce you to his former children, and you need to meet them before you marry him, but he just says, "Oh, I'd rather just leave things in the past because he didn't marry the woman that he had the children by, and he just doesn't, maybe he doesn't have no affiliation with the children either. What would you say to that father? What would you say to him?
Yes. Well, it's, first off, there's no compulsion. I mean, you would have to decide whether you want to proceed in that relationship. But more than likely, in situations like that, there is no strong relationship with the children, or the children may not have many good things to say about their father. They might not know their father very well, but there's not. They want to try and shield this new blossoming relationship for what might not go so well with that type of introduction. They're not confident that there will be a good outcome from you meeting the children. And so they hesitate in that aspect. You know, so you can ask why would you not want me to meet them? A person can ask that question and see what they say. And but in a new relationship, those things should be discussed. I think a person, in my opinion, should be willing to be honest about why they don't want you to meet their children. You know, or do the children even have relationships with the rest of his family, his brothers and sisters, or his mother if they're still alive? You know, so that is a situation that, you know, would possibly call for some more clarity. That would call for some more clarity. Mm-hmm.
But the one reason why I'm so concerned about that is because if that person doesn't want you to know about his children and you have children, you would be wondering, well, how is he going to treat my children, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with his previous children. I would be, like, a little bit upset about that. Well, I don't know. Sometimes there's some things that you can't do anything about.
Yeah, that's true. And then sometimes you have situations where, because the ex may not have wanted him in the children's life, and no relationship developed.
Yeah.
But that same person could go on and be a good stepfather to someone else's children and have a very positive impact on their lives. So you see,
that's
life
true.
Is just, yeah, it's so complicated in these ways because of all these, you know, family drama that we never know why things happen, you know. But that's not end-all, be-all concerning person's ability to have a good impact on someone else's life. So this is why Wiley is important, too. Yeah, you have to do your due diligence and have a Wiley to address those things, because he may open up to another man about the situation, you know, and maybe he wanted to be there for his children and he couldn't, you know, maybe something stopped him from being able to be there for his children, you know, so, but he might be afraid to tell you, or a female, and I'm not saying that, but he might be able to tell the person that he's courting all of this information because and they want to marry you,
right,
you know,
right,
and they don't
right.
want to lose the relationship. But just in talking to a man, he may be able to express things to a man in a different way.
That's true.
Yeah. So I would, I would advise a person to make sure they have a wali and have the wali address that. And, the wali can advise you.
Suppose he doesn't mm-hmm. want the wali to know.
No, then you... Well, if he doesn't want the wali to know, if he's not willing to talk to the wali, then that's probably an issue.
Yes.
That's probably an issue because you're talking about sharing your life with someone and getting married, becoming one, becoming this institution, this family institution. You know, all
yes.
cards face up. All cards face up. There's no time to play games. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's no time to play peekaboo or hide and seek. As adults, we should be able to talk about things. We all know we are flawed. Every human being has some flaws. Every human being has some baggage. Some people
yes.
have backpacks. Some people have steamer trucks, you know. But but there's some baggage that we carry. So, there has to be some transparency. How can you build honesty? How can you open up and be vulnerable? And a person is not willing to be transparent. Now, if it's just something that is difficult to talk about to you, that's one thing. But if it's something that someone is guarding as a secret, that's different. So if it's a secret and they're guarding a secret, you know, and they won't even speak to the wali about it, then that becomes an issue because we're looking to have transparency, to be honest, truthful. These are things that are part of the foundation of marriage, part of the foundation of having a good relationship. So they are vitally necessary.
And Sister Manira, assalamu alaikum, another thing also is that, you know, if the brothers don't tell you everything and you want to find out some things, and you Google their name, and you find it out on your own, because a lot of information, you can Google someone's name and find out their relatives, where they used to live, every place they used to live, how much rent they paid, the names of their children. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
You can find all of that out. So you're mm-hmm. right. They need to just tell you the truth anyway, because you can find mm-hmm. it out on your own.
Yes,
even without
can.
A wali. You can, even without a wali. So they need to just be straight up and stop trying to hide stuff, because you can find that on your own.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And if you feel a person is hiding something, then your mind is going to automatically draw a question that's going to, what else are you hiding? You know, so when you go down that path, you know, it creates an environment of distrust. And that's no way to start out. That is no way to start out in a relationship. So if that's the case, then that's not the environment for you to park in. You know, if a person knows the importance of relationships and the importance of marriage, they should understand the importance of being truthful and honest. So, yes. That would be something that you should proceed with caution with, or even turn back.
Shukran.
Turn back and go in the other direction. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Shukran. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we have a returning caller. We're going to 347-751. Welcome back. Go right ahead with your comment.
Thank you, Sister Munira, Sister Mahasan again. Sister Anne-Marie's questions are very profound and probing. I always like it when she taps in on the one and asks a probing question. She's very, very interesting, her thought processes, and it made me reflect on, you know, in forming new relationships, our life experiences, I've always gotten the notion from Allah's participation that no matter if they're on a level of a test, a difficulty, a challenge, or anything, they have a transformative element. They have a transformative or changing impact. And what Allah promises to us that if we don't shrink away from or undergo, come forward to undergo those tests and challenges, that there will be a really beneficial outcome that we can expect that elevates us, transforms us if we have the right focus. So one of the things that really is challenging to marriage nowadays that Sister Anne-Marie mentioned, is the possibility of people framing transparency or transformative impact in their life by wearing masks, putting on disguises in hopes of engendering a positive outcome that they want. And I loved your answer because it dealt with the complexities of moving through that, with perhaps some of that behavior representing barriers to get to the real deal, to be sure what you're engaging is actually the reality of what is being offered to you. So I thank her for asking it. Sound like a difficult question when she first started, but the insights that you provided are very helpful in refining that journey toward marriage, making sure you end up, well, we say like this in the world, that you get what you paid for.
Yes.
So I'll stop.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you. And Sister Bina is not with us this evening. She's working the polls. It's Super Tuesday. And she works her polls in her district during election time. So inshallah, she'll be back with us next week. But she'll hear that you did give her the greeting. So alhamdulillah. So thank you so much. All right. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. So we are at the top of the hour. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a pause for the cause. And you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Please stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
Peace be with you, and welcome into Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you. and have a pleasant day.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at CWSC.us and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
Okay, and we are back. And thank you for staying with us, and thank you, our radio audience, for your participation as we embark on this journey of courtship towards marriage. And a good, solid courtship where there is honesty, communication, and the honesty is there because, look, I'm going into this honest, I'm going into this being vulnerable because I want this relationship to work. I want this marriage to work. I want to be successful at this marriage. Go into relationships with. Why? Because as Allah outlines to us in the Holy Quran, we're looking for a firm covenant. You know, not just a handshake. We're looking for something lasting, okay? So we go into marriage in that way. There was, if you all remember, there was a news story, and I think, I'm not sure what year I saw this. I don't know if it was last year in 2023 or 2022. But there was a woman who was married to a man for 40 years. For 40 years. And for 40 years, he's been hiding from the law, assumed a different identity, and got busted by the FBI. And she's sitting there. And finding out that he's not who he said he was. But when she was sitting there, I don't know if they were in court or heading to court, the man was right there with her. And he was so, how can I explain it? It's like in his demeanor, and he's just sitting there. Holding onto her arm like he's supporting her and helping her sit up straight. But it's like in his essence, he was just communicating, you know, what I felt for you was real. It was real. I wasn't playing. I wasn't acting. It was real. You know, that's what I got when I was looking at him, you know, in this process. And she was just so befuddled. So befuddled that the man created an identity, and now she's got to figure out what's real and what's not. This is why transparency is important. Transparency is so important, and you can Google that, and it'll come up, and you can see it. This is why transparency is so important. Being truthful, honest is so important. We don't play with people. We don't play with people and their life and the trusting nature. The trusting nature of person. I remember that used to be a term back in the day when I was young, early teenager. Oh, you got played, or, you know, or they played you. You know, playing with people's emotions and honesty. No room for that in Al-Islam, in religion. in a good life, in an honest life, a valuable human being who uses their emotions to praise their Lord, who uses their emotions to nurture children, who uses their emotions to create good and to do good. And we want to play with them or be distrustful and dishonest. How does that affect the human being? And what impact is that making on someone's life? And how are we accountable for those things? So it is extremely important that we insist on honesty and integrity and good discussion, and all cards face up. So we have another caller. 347, please press 1 and go out of the queue and come back in so I'll know if you're returning or not. But we're going to 313-699. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. 313-699. You've pressed 1. Would you like to speak?
Actually, I'm just listening. I'm enjoying the message. And all I can say is we encounter your blessings.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. All right. And press 1, and you'll go out of the queue. And if you wanted to say something, you can press 1 again and come back in. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, 401, looks like you're returning. So I'm opening up your mic, 401-323. Welcome back to the show. Okay, her call dropped. So if she comes back, we'll be happy to open up her mic. How much time is lost in life by people not being sincere, truthful, and honest with themselves and others, but treating life and taking chances and playing a game? How much is lost in life when there could have been sincerity and people seeking Allah's guidance, making good choices, settling down, building a good life with someone, working with someone, building a good life, helping someone to grow, getting the barakah, getting the blessings for that, and assisting someone in their development. A lot of people in life, just take a good athlete for example. You'll hear a good athlete many times go back and thank the coach that took time with them to help them develop, to help, that saw something in them and helped that something by strengthening it and helping them develop, that set them apart from the others and helped them be successful. This is what we do in marriage. We help build on the good and great qualities that we see in the other person. We help with that. But if you can't even come to the relationship in an honest way, being truthful and honest and being frank, then we're taking a chance that the other person won't find out. Then they find out. Now you may have had a good relationship developing, but the trust is now gone. The trust in that relationship has been affected. So don't allow that to happen. Be truthful from the beginning. Safeguard the trust in the relationship. safeguard the trust in the relationship, it matters. When you lose your, when you lose the trust, you really do lose the relationship. You lose the high esteem that a person once held you in because of dishonesty. So, very, very important. Very important and essential quality in a relationship. All righty. So we're going to go on to number, let's see, number 18. Now, number 18 is fulfilling. Let's see what the author says about fulfilling. It says, to be there for your spouse is a very fulfilling and rewarding experience. To be in love means to give one's all. The heart does not put conditions or make stipulations. It gives without expecting anything in return. And such selfless giving is, inshallah, rewarded tenfold. Okay? Selfless giving is, inshallah, rewarded tenfold. Alhamdulillah. So, this number 18 is somewhat of a struggle for me to comprehend completely in 2024. When we live in an environment where we see that humanity in many areas is being diminished, and we see predators and predatory environments, so when I look at this, and we apply our al-Islam to it, what does Allah say to us? That we don't give until it hurts us. We don't give until it hurts us. Storehouse is dry. That's not a practice that we adopt, that we take the middle ground. There's a balance in it. And even in giving zakat and distributing zakat, and you all give me your thoughts on this, if a person is coming to collect zakat repeatedly every week, what is the best practice? The best practice is to assist that person to become self-sufficient, as our Prophet Muhammad did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked the brother, what do you have? To find that he only had the axe head, the head of the axe. So Prophet Muhammad constructed it and put a handle on it, and so that he could chop wood and now sell the wood. Now he has put a man in business. And then Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would buy the wood from him, then donate it and leave it at the door of the believers in the community. But now this person has a vital business, and now he can contribute to society. So if someone tells you, well, you know, you should be a good Muslim, and a good Muslim is selfless, so you should give. You should give and give, 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 give. But in all things, there is balance. Allah has us to seek the middle ground, the balance in all things. We should give. We should give. We should help. We should. But Allah instructs us not to do it until we become destitute. So that means be wise in giving, not to be selfless and ignorant in giving, but to be selfless and have wisdom in giving so that we don't become destitute and blameworthy. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? Please press 1 if you would like to comment on giving and the balance in giving. Okay, so we have no takers. Okay, here we are. We have 727-408. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I really love the act of giving. They say that charity help purify your wealth too, and also help purify your soul also. So praise be to Allah for that. But Allah does say it in the Quran, to the extent that you give, and we know that Allah wants us to be rational thinkers. You know, so we keep the balance and be thankful to Allah for the fact that we're able to give. And we should, if we want to have wealth, at least have it for Allah, cause put it for a position to be in a position to give. Maybe lost in charity to qualify, because many of you have yet to, and I'm one of them, have yet to able to even qualify for zakat. I mean, I can give, but that qualification I have yet reached. So alhamdulillah that Allah does let us know that there is a balance in it. So praise be to Allah for that, and we should we should love giving. But remember, the first thing is a feel good. Giving is a feel good, and it helps alleviate other people's needs. But it's that feeling. But then at the next point, Allah said he wants to be rational. So that's that next step. So we're being knowledgeable too. So praise be to Allah for that.
Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you for calling in. Much appreciated. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we have a returning caller, 347-751. Welcome back to the show. What are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, assalamu alaikum. Brother Bilal's remarks were very stimulating in terms of the reflections that it causes to consider those strategic points, the importance of how we frame the concept of giving, of charity. And there are two forms of giving in Islam. One is the sadaqah level, which is voluntary, both in amount in the direction of the cause in which the giving is done. Like if the masjid needs a new roof, right, and someone may institute a funding campaign, start by asking a certain process and amount of giving to generate the funds for that, to be able to afford it, right? Whereas on the zakat level, there's a mandatory amount. I don't like to use the word tax because it's not a tax really in Al-Islam, but it is a certain amount and given your possession of a certain level of wealth, we have an obligation, it's one of our five pillars of Al-Islam, to contribute out of that which we have left over after we satisfy our necessary needs, providing for ourselves and our families. And Allah always induces that by saying how much He will add into that. He will cause it to increase. So like Brother Bilal was saying, there's a bonus just for exercising the spirit of giving. But you said something that I had been thinking about, because giving requires a certain level of selflessness. I liked your association with the selfishness between that and giving. And categorically, there are seven types of recipients. I won't go through them now in terms of who qualify to receive zakat or sadaqah or charity. And Allah really, when we study that, He prioritizes where to begin the most rightful receiver of zakat or charity down to the last qualification. And it starts almost with the ones who are responsible for executing and seeing that the funds in the accounts reach those who are qualified in those categories. The big idea is that no money should be sitting idle and uncirculated or not extended to those in need, because need is not a crime. Need, being in need, is not a deficit in terms of the dignity and the respect of the individual. Allah gives to whom He pleases, and sometimes He withholds from whom He pleases. So He tests us through giving us much or restraining and giving us little. We don't have, other than working for a living, there are areas where we don't have control over that. So, you know, the caution is not to be extreme in withholding charity, undergiving, or not giving at all, or over-giving, overextending, so we put ourselves in a bad situation. I think that's really important, that balance, right? Inshallah.
Okay, so Sister Mahasan, alhamdulillah, and I agree with all that you said. I agree with all that you said. But what do you think about being a giving person in relationships outside of finances? And the reciprocity of that in a relationship. How does that affect a relationship if a person in a relationship outside of financing is giving?
Okay.
And so not to put you on the spot, but I think we should look at that as well. Because we are talking about relationships and what's necessary. So
usually that noticing a person's giving behavior ends up being a part of the attraction that we may feel, or what may draw our attention to an eligible person to be considered as a help me. We mm-hmm. may notice, you know, as we work with the person, that's one way the prophet says we can get to know them. We travel with them, right? Or we live with them. Now, we know prior to marriage, living with them is off limits. But mm-hmm. it may be in your work, you end up traveling together with someone or to execute, you know, a situation. Or you may actually be a coworker, right? And that's how I married my first Muslim husband, is we didn't have any interest in each other like that, standing out. But we were in a situation where we were co-workers. Mm-hmm. And in co-working relationships, like any other human relationships, there's a circumstance of interdependency.
Mm-hmm.
So when you find yourself operating or activating in relationship with someone, even if marriage is not the goal, their capacity to work interdependently with you is very important in terms of the results that you achieve. So the same thing I think, Sister Munira, since you ask, is true of a more permanent relationship and seeking in a marriage partner. You want, we know we're going to need the feelings of charity in a relationship. There's not going to be a time when we don't need our mate or intended mate to feel charitable, to react charitably to us. It's like when the initiation of the interest comes, Allah says in the Quran that in order to gain access to talking to the woman about marriage, because marriage tie is in the hands of the man who is designated as the maintainer, protector, and provider for the woman, he solicits her to tell her that he's interested in talking about marriage. And Allah himself says the first stage that he has to pass is to give her a gift, to gain mm-hmm. exclusive access to her time and attention. Because one of the protective things that the Islamic approach to marriage guards is that while you're courting or talking to someone, you can't have somebody else be preoccupied with somebody else in the background that you mm-hmm. also may have interest in. So it is necessary to solidify your focus so that you're focused on one candidate, both the man and the woman, at a time, and you give them your exclusive attention so that questions like your list here can be discussed and discerned. So that's, if that's what you're referring to, it's at that time that you'll be able to tease out people's actual postures, whether somebody is charitable in their thinking or stingy in their mm-hmm. perception. And in doing the shura, in having the mutual consultation, people will give you clues in their behavior, whether they're challenged by being overly definitive or giving, or mm-hmm. whether they are influenced, or whether they err on the stingy side. They're always concerned about what they get back or what they give. It's a good time to observe that And
Alhamdulillah. You made some very great points in that, and as you were speaking, I think about the ayat in the Holy Quran where Allah instructs the man prior to intercourse to give a gift. To give a gift. And I think that this shows us that there should be reciprocity in exchange of the good.
Charitable.
Yeah, that there should be charity and reciprocity, that we both have needs to receive charity, like you said, and also sadaqa, you know, helping someone with their understanding of the deen is sadaqa, things that help it uplift the life. So we both need this exchange from each other. And Allah reminds the male to give a gift. So I want to study that aspect more as to why, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why that's in our Holy Quran, with the benefit that is for the human being to do this. You know, how does that connect? So, yes, we are definitely meant to give sadaqa and zakat to each other in relationships. And we provide sadaqa and zakat to the community in relationships as well. So it's an integral part. This exchange is an integral part of a relationship that helps to build and strengthen the person and the couple and the family and the community. And we can keep going. And the ummah.
Yes.
So, alhamdulillah.
Sister Nira, I would like to add one thing you stimulated me to thinking about, is that all of our social relationships are meant to exemplify human worth and human value. And so the requisition of a man giving a gift to the woman, I mean, it can be as little as a bouquet of flowers, one rose, if she's accepting of that, you see, or it can be according to his ability, because it's always according to his assets. Even Allah gives the advice to women of means, like Lady Khadija was, it was a practice not to hesitate to marry a man of limited means because of a promise that Allah made to the woman. And that is that Allah would provide to the man, upscale his assets to an affordability level for the lifestyle that the woman had been accustomed to. Now, I'm not talking about luxury and extravagance. That's not what I'm talking about. 40 pairs of shoes, right? Or or dresses that cost $1,000. I'm talking about, Allah recognizes and preserves the manner in which a woman was raised, a lifestyle that her parents could afford and raised her in at that status. And actually, Allah makes it incumbent upon the man, when he selects a mate, to be sure he can maintain that, if not make it better.
Yes.
So there's an inherent value that Allah is always suggesting that we carefully provide and preserve because of his human value created in the human being.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
We have a first-time caller, and we're going to go to that caller, and then we'll come back to 727. So 321, 917, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam, peace and blessings. And I was listening to the discussion about Sadaqa charity, and I listened to the various forms that we were that were being discussed, and I heard I was listening to a gift giving, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that, to do something, send something good for your soul. Send something good for your soul before you have this intimacy with your wife. And that could be a dua. That could be a kind word. And the messenger, he said, to approach your mate with kindness. As a gift to them. So there's various ways we look at these gifts we're talking about. I wanted to just spin around to circle back to the prophet's instruction on what was charity. He said to remove something harmful from the road is a charity. When he was asked, how can we give charity if we don't have money? To remove something harmful from the road is a charity. To give or help someone on their mount, open the door for someone, it's a charity. Today we have cars, we can open the door. To give a kind word is a charity. To make bicker is a charity for your own soul, and et cetera, et cetera. There are various ways. And I think the major one that I would like to make remind myself of is just being kind. Just kindness. It takes a great effort to sometimes just be kind in a world like we live in here now. So just wanted to mention those things. Allah is very limited on this intimate relationship that we are talking about, because there's a lot more in the Sunnah about that. But Allah does encourage us to send something good, spend something good for our souls before we approach that. So we should be, my thinking is, I want to make sure I've made my prayers, that I've fulfilled my obligations to my Creator. And thank him for that opportunity that he's given me to have a mate. And that type of attitude, I think, is more important, you know, than just looking at a physical or a physical gift. So I just wanted to share that, just to bring another approach. I'm not saying we shouldn't give gifts. That's a wonderful thing.
Oh, no, what you're saying is very important.
And the prophet
is very important.
He said, give gifts because it endears the hearts. That's So it's definitely important that we give gifts. I would say I don't think I want to see them associated with the intimate relationship. That's how I would say that.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for your input and your insights, alhamdulillah, and for sharing them with us. All right, so 727, we're coming to you. 727-408, welcome back.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Walaikum assalam.
I imagine this is a grown folks show, so I figure I could do this. And it's such a great thing that I'm listening to DeLacy, right? And I can hear from what he said, because of what he said, I can hear the spirit of Ramadan inside of him. And so praise, I can say that. Now what I'm about to say, dealing with the arousal period before that great intimacy or sexual relationship come about, that should be for the man, that should be the stimulation of his wife should be a very, very important thing for him to see that this occurred, not just no cold blanking, you know, just having a relationship with her, just like that. So I don't know whether I heard it somewhere, but I think I did. I think I heard that you know what I just said. I think I heard that somewhere, you know. So praise be to Allah, you know, and also, you know, we very charitable in our comments, you know, of each other. And once we get married, we be aware of the comments that we give to another brother or another sister concerning something. And because that could be, you know, very effective. You know, that can cause a lot of ripple if the other spouse would hear that. And also a single person, single brother, being easy to maintain that. A single brother, he can be very charitable. But once he get married, you know, it kind of changes, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm being real about that.
You know, I got you now.
Yeah,
I can relax.
Yeah. So your money, you know, a single brother gets, you know, he can have money. I mean, he gets... See, all you have 200 if you do it 200. So praise be to Allah. I have to say that then. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for your comments. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so we have gotten a lot of good information here, and a lot of good communication when we're talking about being fulfilling. Okay? And it's interesting that he pointed out that it's very fulfilling to be their spouse. Okay? So you're doing an act of service for someone else, being there for your spouse. He didn't state going into this particular attribute that is very important for you to be fulfilled. Okay? So this tells me that each person should have a spirit of service, being willing to be of service to the person that they marry, to be willing to serve, to be willing to give. And if each of us go into a relationship with that attribute, then there will be reciprocity in the relationship. Okay? And you're not going into a relationship with what can I get? What am I going to get out of this relationship? It's what am I going to give? How am I going to be present? How am I going to be in a position to create a rewarding experience for my husband? And the husband says, how am I going to create a rewarding experience for my wife? So each person goes into the relationship with that disposition of giving, and it is very fulfilling. And that's just like a community life. If each person said at a function, very rewarding for everybody. You know, everybody is in a feel-good situation because everybody's giving. So keep that in mind during the courtship process and be observant of a person's willingness to be rewarding for someone else or to be fulfilling for someone else, to be of assistance, helping, supporting, uplifting, all of those things. The exchange and the giving is a very rewarding experience. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And number 19, I'm just going to check the board real quick. Number 19 is fallible, F-A-L-L-I-B-L-E. And this is a word we don't hear very often. So let's explore what the author is saying about number 19, to be fallible. It sometimes happens, he states, that our expectations are so high that we forget that we are fallible beings. We have such high expectations of others that we forget that we have faults, that we are fallible. When couples start to nitpick and demand the impossible, they must remind themselves that only Allah Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is perfect. Okay? So we don't burden each other with extremely high expectations. From the other. That's really unfair when you think about it. Because if it's something that you could do for yourself, you wouldn't even be asking the other person to do it. But if you can't do this for your own self and you put the demand on someone else, is that fair? No, it's not. So he's dealing with our expectations that we have from the other. And we can set such high expectations that we forget that we are fallible, that we are just lowly human beings struggling through life, struggling on Allah's Sirat al-Mustaqim, struggling on Allah's path. So this requires for us to remain humble, have humility, and know that only Allah is perfect. And in doing that, we would seek Allah's guidance for things that we are expecting from others and ask Allah to help us and to make it easy for us and not put those demands on someone else and then put them in a position to fail. And then you're going to look at them as failing. So, no, we don't do that. We don't put the other in a position where they might fail. And then that will be a in the armor, so to speak. It'd be something we have to overcome and get over in relationships. So I thought that was a very interesting attribute that he pointed out. Okay. And number 20 is fondness. And he says that so many times couples fail to work on developing fondness for each other by failing to see their spouses as people through the eyes of their respective friends. Spending quality time alone, doing and sharing activities are ways in which one can develop and maintain fondness. You know, we need to really like each other, you know, and just like each other's good qualities and the spirit and the joy, the excitement, education, the talents, the skills, and everything that a person is bringing into your life and into your relationships. We need to like that. We need to be fond of each other. You know, So that's very important. And last but not least, number 21 is future. Smart couples plan for their future together. They work on their financial and retirement plans, make wills, and discuss these plans with their children. This provides peace of mind and secures the relationship, inshallah. I'm going to read this one again. Smart couples plan for their futures together. They work on their financial and retirement plans, make wills, and discuss these plans with their children. This provides peace of mind and secures the relationship, inshallah. So these have been 21 foundational elements that help to build a successful and blissful marriage. So the article states, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation. May Allah extol and mention of our noble Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the highest company of angels. Bless him and give him peace and security and his family, his companions, and all those who follow him correctly and sincerely until the establishment of the hour. So, alhamdulillah, this has been, we have been studying, again, the article, Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtada Ghusal. So I pray that this has been rewarding and that we have gained some insight from this and some tools that we can use to help develop a successful and blissful marriage. And we pray Allah blesses the author and blesses the work that he's doing toward making a contribution to the education that's needed for us to be in a position to create this good life and this good relationship, while we're here, thus contributing to the goodness of society and humanity. So we thank you for being here with us this evening, and we thank all of our callers for the input and the insights that you have shared. And I'm so happy that these shows, again, are archived and here for people to listen, to study, and we learn together. Every time I come on the show, it's a study session for me, and it's an opportunity to continue to grow and learn more about relationships and courtship and marriage. And sharing is how we all help increase humanity. So, and we want to continue to do that, and we want you to be able to make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, for a show that continues with this human development. And this show is called The Female Solution, and it's on the air every morning. And it's The Female Solution, looking at issues through the female lens, but we have balance on the program because Imam Kareem Hamid is there to represent that balance. So tune into this show tomorrow morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Every Wednesday morning, you'll find The Female Solution right here on American Muslim 360. So that's going to be the end of our show for this evening. We thank you for being a part of tonight's program. And we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out this evening with his song, Fearing Thee.
Oh, yeah. and was born to win that bout. Fearing thee is what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. Archery man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here. Loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Fearing, fearing, neighborly, making a life believe.
Loving,
a creature of fear, performing dry tears.
Fearing,
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceive him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning. Giving thee what made him brave enough to go.
Loving,
loving thee made him brave enough to go.
Fearing
thee, fearing thee was what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. Making a life for thee. Oh, 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 oh yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
A countryman dear came up from the rear.
Loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah. So again, thank you for being here with us this evening. Inshallah, the next time we meet will be in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan starts before we meet here again on AM 360. I'm going to say Ramadan Mubarak. I pray we have a successful and blessed Ramadan this year. And that we are rewarded and elevated through our fasting and focusing on Allah and reading our Holy Qurans during this blessed month. So, alhamdulillah. So, come back and spend some time with us next Tuesday, inshallah, and please bring a friend. Until then, we leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum.